These are the remains of January carnage that took the lives of over 100 Shia Muslims after a twin blast shook the provincial capital of Quetta. Locked in their neighborhood, ethnic Hazara Shia Muslims feel under siege because they cannot go out in the rest of the city for their business activities. In this edition of In Focus, we'll ask why the government in center, and particularly the government of Balochistan, has so far failed to provide permanent solution for peace to this city.
Quetta, the capital of Pakistan's southwest Balochistan province, bordering both Iran as well as US-occupied Afghanistan, has become the epicenter of sectarian bloodshed. The majority of those fallen prey to sectarian attacks by the banned pro-Taliban outfits were ethnic Hazara Shia Muslims. Living in Pakistan, Afghanistan and Iran, these Shia Muslims are double minority in a sense that they are ethnically Mongols and religiously Shias. Historically, the Hazara Shias migrated from Afghanistan to Quetta in 1880s when the then King Abdul Rahman started persecuting them. Being a minority with ethnic background, sectarian affiliation and easily noticeable physical resemblance, the community has become an easy target for attackers. Since 1999, they have fallen prey to the targeted killings by the Takfiri extremist groups, and over the last 12 years, more than 1300 Hazara Shias have been killed. Long rows of headstones in this graveyard stand testament to the continued targeted massacres of these Shia Muslims.
This place is called Behisht-e-Zainab, or the Paradise of Zainab, named after the daughter of first Shia Imam. It is the largest graveyard of ethnic Hazara Shia Muslims in the city of Quetta. Victims' families gather here every evening to remember their loved ones who lost their lives in the brutal attacks against Shia Muslims in the provincial capital of Balochistan.
Ghulam Hussain lost his 20-year-old son Waqar in the last January blast. He rushed to help victims of the first blast, and suddenly the second bomb exploded and he died.
He was a student of high school, a tall young boy full of life. My daughter told me to call my both sons after the first blast happened. I called Waqar and he said, "I'm okay and I'm helping the wounded people and will soon return." Minutes after my conversation with him, the second bomb exploded. I kept dialing his number, but he was not picking the phone. It was like an earthquake. At that moment, I thought, he's gone and I've lost my boy. I rushed to the spot, but could not find him among the scattered body parts of other victims.
We were only helped by our own community across Pakistan, and they did everything for us, from sit-in to financial support. But the government did nothing for us, and especially the most incompetent chief minister, Roy Sani, who even marked our pain by offering a truckload of tissue papers for the bereaved families to wipe out tears. I ask from the government that how these miscreants managed to bring a truckload of explosives to our city and our neighborhood. It clearly shows their complicity, otherwise we would have not seen what we went through.
This lady, Shabana Khanum, originally from Rawalpindi and married in a Hazara family, lost her two sons in January blasts.
I was told that my sons Sadaqat Ali and Basharat Ali were helping victims of the first blast on Alamdar Road. My boys used to help everyone and everywhere. I hope that the new government of Nawaz Sharif will be serious about peace and law and order. All we are asking for is peace. They were our bread earners, on whom our family were dependent. It was not just an emotional loss to this house, but also an economic and social one that we suffered. After them, we are all dead. I am an unfortunate mother who lost her two young sons full of life, who could not make their comeback. I'm requesting the coming government that, for God's sake, we do not want anything but peace. Please save our youth, provide best security, and stop sending us their bodies when they go out to earn living. I request to the international community to to mount more pressure on Pakistani government to take serious measures for peace in the whole Quetta city.
The escalation of violence against Hazara Shia raised questions in past about the nature of these crimes, but it's now abundantly clear that they have been targeted for their sectarian affiliation, because this violence has not been limited to Hazara Shias only, but Shias from settlers' communities in Quetta like Punjabis, Pashtuns, Kandharis and Urdu-speaking Shias also fell victim to this violence in the city. And this is the family of Mr. Khadim Hussain, who was the director in the information department of the government of Balochistan. His family says that despite that he was the grade 19 officer, no one from the provincial or the center government came to heal their pain. He received 16 bullets on his body. Although he was a ranking government officer from Kandhari Shia community residing in Quetta, and there were obvious threats to his life, he was not provided with the government security and left as an easy prey for the attackers.
My husband was driving children to school on 17 December 2012 when he came under an intense fire right outside his office. No one from his department participated in his funeral prayer because of the fear of these banned outfits who made my children orphan. What kind of a government is this? Nobody asked about that, how we are living now and the situation we went through. He served 25 years to this government and yet no one bothered to participate in his funeral just because they might be next target of the militant groups. Is this a government? Is this justice? He was murdered right outside his office. Police was there and other law enforcement agencies were there, but my poor husband was not even rescued by any one of them, let alone securing him.
The state is doing nothing. My father gave 25 long years of his life to this state. He served Pakistan, our homeland, and in return we received his dead body ridden with bullets. No one from his department even consoled us. He took us to school on that day, and after dropping us there, he went to his office, and after 10 minutes, I received this unfortunate news when he was gunned down. It was the day of results at school, and I never had the chance to show my results to my father. What kind of government is this, that a man who goes out to earn a living for his family comes back as a dead body?
This mother from Kandhari Shia community lost her young son in the January blast. He was a photojournalist covering the victims of the first blast and himself became victim of the second explosion that followed.
My son was a photojournalist. He went to take the snapshot of the first blast, and in the second blast, he lost his life. No one from his news agency or from Balochistan Press Club even bothered to ask me that being a mother, what pain I went through by his tragic loss. They didn't even pay his last salary. Is this humanity? I say I will beg on roads for charity, but won't let my second child be a photojournalist in a city like Quetta.
Hazara leaders say that the previous government of Nawab Aslam Raisani, with almost no opposition in provincial assembly, knew that it is their first and last chance. So instead of solving issues, they focused on ways of embezzlement to further multiply their wealth. And it was all visible to Zardari-led government and center, but they purposely did not act. Major Nadir Ali, a senior leader of Hazara Shias in Quetta, who has served for both military and civil establishment of Pakistan, hold the strategic alliance between law enforcement agencies and these banned outfits responsible for mayhem in Quetta.
When we say that the state is responsible, we say that to the extent because they have failed to give us protection and security the way a very common man has to live in a country. Like, you know, freedom of speech, freedom of movement and all that. So that thing is forbidden. And if we don't have that, it means the government has failed to give us protection and security. They have their own compulsion. Like, for example, Pakistan is facing two troubles. One is Afghanistan, the other is Kashmir. Now these people, the militants, they have been helping Pakistan in Kashmir. That's why, you know, because in Afghanistan they got their training and they have been used in Kashmir. As a result of that, you know, they cannot go in a very, very, you know, harsh against them. Therefore, we say that there is a soft corner for them.
After the January attacks, Hazara Shias refused to bury their victims and staged a three-day sit-in in sub-zero temperature along with the dead bodies of their loved ones. They demanded the removal of Raisani government and serious targeted operations against those responsible. Abdul Khalik, the chairman of Hazara Democratic Party, believes the law enforcement agencies did not fulfill the demand for serious operations so far. Instead, Hazaras have been locked in their neighborhoods.
This is a multinational city. There are Pashtuns, there are Baloch, there are settlers, Punjabis, there are Hazara community. That's why I think I'm saying this thing, that the law enforcement agencies are not serious. If they become serious, I think, they will just only, this is our simple demand, that take concrete steps against them. Go ahead and just only have any targeted operation against them. So from last many years, more than 1,200 people of Hazaras, youth, women, children, politicians, social worker, educationists, they have been killed here. Till now, even a single person has not been arrested. That's why I say this thing, that they are government many times. They have just only promised us they will take any concrete steps against them and they will take any targeted operation against them. Till now, I have not seen anyone. It seems, I think, that some forces, hidden forces are there in Balochistan, particularly in Quetta, that they are projecting sectarianism. They are projecting extremism, religious extremism. That's why I say this thing, that the government and law enforcement agencies are not serious in this matter. Otherwise, if they say, I think, that they have been felt, security lapse are there, I do not accept it. Because I have firm belief in our law enforcement agencies that if they become serious, so in 3 or 1 week, I think they will just only crush them out, and they can arrest them also, and they can take action against them also. That's why this is a question. There are some black sheep, I think, in our forces also. There are some black sheep that who do not want, I think. There are some mindset which is present because of the historical, I think, background of this region. If you observe it in Quetta district, as I say, that it's a very small city. Not only one incident is there, I think. The last, particularly in the inception of this year, on 10th January and 16th February, the incident which happened, it was the tragedy of the complete region. The heinous tragedy of the complete region, I think. Thousands kilograms of explosive were used on our community. And before that one, there are hundreds of incidents are like this one, that 26 people were taken out of the buses. They were identified. They were checked, I think, after identification of them, that they were Hazara community. After them, they were shot dead at the moment.
Terrorism has isolated the Hazara Shia Muslims in two main towns in Quetta, Alamdar Road in the east and Hazara Town in the west. I'm now heading towards Hazara Town, where the February carnage took place, in which over 100 people lost their lives and about 200 people were critically wounded. And I was told to be very, very careful because the road on which we are traveling right now is the most dangerous zone in Quetta, which links Alamdar Road to the Hazara Town. Spinney Road is the only link to Hazara Town, and most of the assaults on Hazara Shia take place on this very road. Here we met with Muhammad Ishaq, who lost 5 members of his family, including his wife, in the February blast that was heard miles away when an explosive-laden truck blasted in this Shia neighborhood. His daughter told us that neither provincial nor federal officials did even bother to call them.
2 minutes, I was in a friend's house when the explosion took place, not very far from us. When I reached the spot, I saw scattered and mutilated bodies of bomb victims. I was unaware of the fact that my own siblings and mother have become the victim of this carnage. I helped some of the injured and then came back home. Here, I was told that 5 members of our family are missing. I went out and saw some ladies standing at the street's corner. I called one of them, thinking that she might be my mom, because it was all dark due to power outage. But she was not. Then I came back and helplessly tried to find out, but they were all gone. Father and other relatives were all quiet, saying nothing about my mom. It was late night when we got a call that our mother and siblings have been found.
In this muddy house lives Sakina Bibi with her 6 children after losing her husband in February carnage. She lives here alone and depends on monthly financial assistance from a Shia charity organization, cause her only bread earner is no more alive. Here also the story is same. The government does not know about the miseries and the pain she went through after her husband was not available anymore. Khadija is the widow of another victim, Altaf Hussain, whose family says was a very hard-working man. Since he could not go out of Hazara town to earn his living because of threats, he recently started working in a shop in Hazara town. The place collapsed over him due to an enormous blast. Experts believe that the change in the strategy of Pakistan's law enforcement agencies to tackle Baloch separatists came at the expense of Shia blood. More and more religious madrasas surfaced across the province, aimed at diluting the Baloch nationalism by converting the secular Baloch into a religiously extremist one, thus providing easy human resource to the banned outfits. The police chief of Quetta city agrees that not a single person has been punished so far, and that raised further questions about the system.
We are in a situation these days that there is a sort of a war going on in Quetta, and during this time there have been certain major incidents, and these incidents in a way can be called as failures, because this incident took place here and it caused a lot of damage to the human life and otherwise also, and it has been happening consistently. So death toll, as my calculation goes, is beyond 1,000 over a period of 5 years, let's say. So who are these people, why are they doing this, and as Capital Police Chief, what are my objectives and how am I going to prevent this, and my strategy and fighting out this war. Let me just say this much, that there is incident like the attack on the house of the Inspector General, who is the provincial chief of the police. But how would you compare it with any other incident in Pakistan happening elsewhere, let's say Pindi, Islamabad, Lahore, Karachi or elsewhere? If you see, law enforcement agencies have been consistently targeted by these people. Now, it could be a recruiting process during which the attack was carried out, or a training center in Lahore, Manama, you know, the attack was carried out, or FIA building in Lahore, or CID building in Karachi. So it is, you can't isolate what is happening in Quetta with what is happening at the national level. Can we afford to have another incident like Alamdar Road or Hazara Town? We can't. So how can we prevent that? So that prevention plan is in place. And at times it is inconvenient, it is irritating. But human life is much more important for us. Till we come, you know, to the second line of our operation, where we, you know, dilute this kind of security being provided to the community, in a way restricted them, you know, just to, by providing security, we have in a way caused a lot of inconvenience also. But then, as I said, human life is more important. The facts and figures will tell you that minus these two incidents, if you see the pattern for last 5 years and the pattern in let's say last 10 months, so that will indicate to you by itself so the kind of progress which has been made, and I think we have a sense of direction and the way we are headed is working for us.
Many rights groups have documented sectarian bias towards Hazara Shias. In a report by the Human Rights Commission of Pakistan released on August 30, 2012, it says, Hazaras have been already uprooted from Mach, Lorelei and Job. It seems a campaign has been launched to terrorize the Hazara community so that they leave Quetta by selling their businesses and property at throwaway prices. Pamphlets have been left at their homes, telling them to sell their houses and leave. And this is perhaps the main reason that Hazara youth is seeking asylum in Australia and other countries. The report further reads, the administration seems to simply bear witness to ethnic and sectarian bias against Hazara Shia community. Since the new government assumed the charge, not a single charge sheet have been presented in courts against the accused. The accused are arrested in the morning and released in the afternoon. No government or public official have ever condemned the targeted killing of Hazara community, nor come to express condolences or offer any compensation to the victims' families. To know more on this, I sat down with the vice chairman of Human Rights Commission of Pakistan in Balochistan.
And there are some group involved, especially we should sort out from where they are financing. Who are financing them for that, especially that purpose of sectarian and thereafter sectarian violence? Who prepare them? The government himself is admitted that the Saudi Arabia and other Arab blocs, like Emirates and just like Jordan and other countries, are involved.
According to Hillary Clinton's leaked memo in 2009 by WikiLeaks, Saudi Arabia is the world's largest source of funds for Islamist militant groups, but the Saudi government is reluctant to stem the flow of money. On the other hand, the law enforcement agencies of Pakistan purposely turn a blind eye to these illicit transactions of petrodollars from Persian Gulf Arab countries. The US, who many Pakistanis consider a prime source of destabilization and sectarian killings in Pakistan, also does not seem to withdraw its support for these Takfiri elements and Arab states. For next 5 years, all eyes would be on new pro-Saudi Nawaz Sharif administration and how they tackle the issue of extremism and deal with these elements and their funding source, Saudi Arabia. Do they choose stability and peace in Pakistan or stay quiet before these Arab countries? The choice is theirs. Thank you.